Very good morning to all of you, and welcome to Church of Our Savior. As you can already tell by now, it's a bit of a special service today. It's our Holy Communion service. Of course, we're also remembering the teachers, so we won't forget you. We've got something special for you afterwards. But today, we are also having our 6th anniversary of our Family Inclusion Network. So about 6 years ago, when I first came to Coos, there's a group of people in this church who are very passionate about connecting some of these families of people with special needs. You know, Ann Peng and her group, different ones have been worked quite hard to bring together and form this network of mutually supporting, alright, mutually encouraging families. And over the years, they've done so much. You know, they have had people come in to train, to talk, to give talks, to provide support in many, many different forms. And they've done quite a lot, I think, in this area. Now, a lot of members have this idea that FIN, Family Inclusion Network, is really for those people with special needs. But I'd like to say that we all have special needs, right? I mean, we all have special needs, and it's not just those, you know, you're just thinking about, those with maybe autistic, on the autistic spectrum, or maybe those with particular kind of disabilities. But really, what FIN is about is not about the abilities or the disabilities. It's really about including everyone. And that's what it's all about. And that's why it touches every single one of us. Alright? We all really do have special needs. My wife is convinced that I have special needs. You know, I mean, I guess I'm very special in that sense. Alright? So, more than that, they're helping us to learn what it means to be a human being created in the image of God. Okay, not just consumers, but created in the image of God. So today on the anniversary, we are looking at this whole topic. They picked 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and a very appropriate passage to help us understand a little bit about what God's vision is for the human being and for the community of God. So we'll look at that passage, and if you look at it, it can be pretty much broken down into 4 key ideas. I'm going to put these 4 ideas right up there and we'll go through it one by one, alright? The 4 ideas are, first, there are differences. Okay, real differences, but our differences don't define us. Okay? Secondly, each part expresses the image of God in a unique and essential way. Third of all, there is a tendency towards the tyranny of the majority, and it needs to be resisted. And last of all, we need to uphold and encourage one another. Okay, that's the whole sermon right there. So after this, you can go home. No, not yet, okay? So we'll talk about this in a little bit of detail. So that this is something that we as a church, we cannot just know, but we can be. First of all, there are differences. There are certainly differences. One of the big problems in the whole gender debate in the West is that they are trying to achieve equality by erasing differences, which is ridiculous, right? Because you look around, you don't have to look very hard. We are all different. We're different in so many ways. And for them, they're trying to erase. No, look, a woman can give birth to another human being. A man cannot. Okay? Very different. Am I right? I mean, women can operate washing machine. Men, well, okay, we can learn some things, alright? Now, obviously, there are all these very real God-given differences. And it's kind of silly to try and pretend that there are no differences. There are differences. However, these differences should not define us. And this is what 1 Corinthians 12 is really trying to do. It's trying to help us to express the unity, the body of Christ as one, right? This common heritage that we have in God's kingdom. In any human community, including a church, there are many ways that we can find to draw lines of division between ourselves, alright? There are men and women, we already mentioned that. There are those who are tall and short. I'm a little bit on the middle, right? Maybe a little bit on the latter side. The rich and the poor, those who are seeing, and those who are blind. Those who are hearing, and those who are hearing impaired. Right? Those who are mobile, who can get around on their own, and those who are not. Those who have special needs, as we understand them, and those who don't. Those who develop along slightly different paths than the majority, than the common people, who fall in more common, ordinary paths of development. Those who speak in foreign languages, and those of us who speak in Singlish. Right? Those of us who come from different racial and cultural backgrounds. You find them all in church here, right? Those who are young and those who are old. Single and married. with children, without children. The list is endless. It goes on and on and on. And if you want to find something that divides us, there's a lot of things that you can find that can actually divide us. Those who like to sit on the left and those who like to sit on the right. Right? Those who sit in front and those who sit behind. I don't know if there's any real difference in this, but you want to find something, there are many ways you can draw to define, to separate us. And sometimes this tendency is that you allow these differences, sometimes very arbitrary differences, we allow these differences to define how we are different as human beings. Right? But we shouldn't. We shouldn't allow these lines to define us. There are real differences, but these don't define us. So, how should we deal with these things? Now, sometimes we allow our human tendencies to drive us. Because when you don't know some people, you know, you tend to shy away from the different. You tend to stick to the familiar. Isn't it? This is our human tendency. You go to, you know, if there's a whole group of people, you ask, you notice all the people who are certain height will stand together. Then all those who are very tall will stand together. This is just human tendency, right? You tend to go towards people who are like you. And sometimes, unknowingly and unwittingly, this starts to become walls of difference between each and every one of us. So what does the Bible say? You know, how can we overcome this? Well, first of all, the Bible has a very different vision for the church. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 28, it says this, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. Everyone say one in Christ. Okay, so the Bible recognizes there are clearly differences. This is not an exhaustive list. There are many differences. Race, you know, slave or free status, political status, freedom status, male or female, gender. There are many these things. These things don't define us. Okay, you can allow it to define it, but you shouldn't. What does define us? You are one in Christ. What defines us is our common loyalty, our common relationship with Jesus Christ. You understand what I'm saying? That is what holds us all together. Now, in my family, I have a younger brother and I have an older sister, right? Ironically, my older sister is shorter than me and my younger brother is taller than me. He's also bigger than me. I attribute it to the fact that when we're young, we got no money and when we, you know, when he came along, you know, family was better off. We ate a lot more burgers. And in the burger, they inject all the steroids and as a result, he grew more than me, right? And my sister had less burgers, so she was shorter than me. But you look at us, actually we're very different. I mean, it's not, we don't look very similar, right? And then he's in US, I'm here, right? He studied chemistry, I studied engineering. I mean, we can find all ways, but you know what? He's my brother. And he's my brother, not because of all these differences, it's because of our common relationship with our parents. Now, in the same way, all of us here, whatever differences you can find among ourselves, we are held together with our one common bond with our father. Right? We have the same father. That makes us brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. So turn to someone on your left and right and call them appropriately, brother or sister. Don't say brother or sister. Just, you know. Right? We are brothers and sisters and this means something. We are defined by our relationships. We are not defined by whether your abilities or disabilities, you're not defined by your needs, whether they're special or not. You're not you're not defined by all these other things or whether your English grammar is good or not. Okay, right? Basically, we are defined by our relationship. Right? This is a relational community. That's the first thing I want to say. Second thing, every single part expresses a unique and essential way of expressing the image of God. Right? Very important. See, very often, as humans, we tend to value people by their utility, right? You see, how useful is this thing or how useful is this person? Now, we all know this story of Martha and Mary really well. Because, you know, for Singaporeans, that's our way of saying we shouldn't work so hard, right? So, but I think sometimes the point here is that Martha got upset with Mary because Mary was not doing anything useful, right? So, he was defining Mary's value by her usefulness. And this is something we all tend to do. We look at someone and we say, you're useless, or you're very good, or you're very useful, right? We tend to value people. And you know what? Sometimes we bring the same attitude to God. We value God in terms of how useful God is to us, right? But we are supposed to steer away from this. We shouldn't value people because everyone, in their own special way, express the image of God. Now, for the longest time, doctors really didn't know what to do with this one part of your body known as the appendix, right? Down there in your intestinal system, there's this one little thing called the appendix. So they didn't know what to do with it. They couldn't figure out what on earth is this appendix here for. So after a long time, they concluded, you know, this is useless. The appendix has no purpose as far as they know. So to make matters worse, the appendix was, from time to time, it actually would get inflamed. And then you end up with this condition known as appendicitis, right? Now when we are young, our parents would tell us things like, you eat rice and then you run around, you get appendicitis. Okay, first of all, it's not true, okay? So I don't know why they tell us these things, you know, but it's not true. It's due to inflammation. But when that inflammation happens, it's very painful. Sometimes it can be even life-threatening if it ruptures, right? So, doctors figured, you know what? We should just cut off the appendix, okay? Just cut it off. So occasionally when they're opening you up for other reasons, and they, oh, yeah, by the way, there's appendix, but we might as well just cut it out, take it out, since it has no use. Then about 10 years ago, scientists discovered, you know what? Actually, this appendix is quite useful because it is a storage for all those probiotic bacteria for your intestines, so that when you have dysentery or you have diarrhea, you can recover better. Okay? If you don't understand, basically, this is your internal Yakult. You know, you drink Yakult, Vitagen. Okay, this is your internal Yakult. And they say, this actually helps you recover better. Now, suddenly, the thing that they thought was useless suddenly became very useful. Of course, all those people had it cut out thinking, oh, you're dying. Now I better buy more Yakult, or better don't get diarrhea or dysentery. You see, sometimes in our communities, we have a tendency to evaluate people. And we say, wow, this is useful. And it's very superficial the way we look at people, right? We tend to look at it in terms of, well, utility value. How much can they do? Are they able or are they disabled? These things are very, very poor ways of looking at one another, right? Because God puts these people in our lives to bring out things in us, you know. Now I'm going to tell you this. I am someone who likes to drive fast. Please don't do like what I do, okay? I like to drive fast because, you know, I think it's nice to go fast, okay? So, but every now and then while I'm attempting to go faster, right, in the fast lane, I will find myself behind a car whose idea of fast is 60 kilometers an hour, okay? My idea of fast is maybe 160. It's like, okay, that's nice speed. But it's like, I will be like, oh no, you know, this is very slow, right? Or maybe you find yourself behind a car in the traffic light, right? And the light turned green already, right? And this guy is, so, you know, I always try not to horn people, in case it's church member, right? So don't horn, right? So, but I'm patiently waiting there, I'm thinking, how green more must it be for you to go, you know? Then sometimes I remember, maybe God put this person here to teach me patience. Or maybe to save my life. Who knows, I charge forward and have accident, right? So, you see, you cannot really assess people on the basis of how you feel or how much utility you can extract out of this person. Sometimes God put them there to express things that you cannot understand. And sometimes we ourselves don't even know what is our own value. You know this? And because of this, a lot of people go around thinking, I have no value, I'm useless. Don't ever say that. You have the image of God in you. When whilst we may not always understand it, the Bible says God has put us here for one another. God has put every member in his place according to his plan. So every one of you, you're here by God's plan. Amen? Right? You may not understand this, but God has his plan. So 1 Corinthians 12 is not saying that the ear and the nose have all the same function or even the same utility value. It's not saying anything. It's nothing to do with utility value. He's saying that God has a place. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 18, it says, God has set the members, each of them, in the body, just as he pleased. So even your appendix, God had put it there, just as he pleased, for a reason that perhaps it may not be apparent to us right now, but God has that reason there. And ultimately, we are more complete, we reflect the image of God better because of one another. Right? So, God had put these people there for you. And God has put you for the rest of us, right? The third thing, this is what I call the tendency towards the tyranny of the majority, and something that needs to be resisted. You say, Pastor, what is that thing? Okay, this is, you know, in any group, right, any sizable group, the majority in the group tend to enjoy what is known as the economies of scale. Okay, the economies of scale. Now, so some of you may understand what this is, but if you ever take an aeroplane before, you know, most of us, we are not able to afford first class or business class where the seats are nice and big. You notice the seats are bigger in the business class. Notice, right? And then you've got the ultra business class, now you've got bed or so, you know, right? And your own toilet, okay. We're not talking about that, normal people, okay? Majority of us, we're in what is called the cattle class, right? So in a cattle class or economy class, you go in, you notice, first of all the seats are the same size. That's a kind of size, right? And most of us, if you sit in our seats, it'll be just nice. You know why? Because we're normal people, right? Normal seats for normal people. So we sit in. But occasionally, you will get one guy who's daddy long legs, very long. He go in there, wow, poor thing, especially those ang molang, you know, they go into the seats. You can see they struggle because they can barely get their feet in, you know. Or some other people, maybe they are slightly bigger, okay? And they tend to spill over in the next seat. Now all these, you find they don't fit very well. Why is this the case? Because all the seats are designed for the statistical norm, you see. In other words, for majority of people. It doesn't mean that the fellow with long legs is something wrong with him. Nothing wrong with him, okay? That if we play basketball, that will be very good. But in an aeroplane, at least, it's designed for the majority of the people who are a certain kind of size. We Asians, very good. If you're small, even better. Because if you're small, you go into those seats, it just like feels like first class, right? So, for a lot of people, we in our church, there is a certain majority. And the majority enjoys a certain convenience that arises from that. However, sometimes because of this convenience, we end up forgetting that there are people who don't fit, you know. There are those people who are on the fringe of the majority, who are there by no fault of their own. It's not right or wrong. It's just simply they are not part of the majority. That doesn't make the majority better or more important or better or somehow more prioritized in any way. It simply means that there are people there that sometimes we tend to forget. Now we have to remember that ours is a good shepherd who leaves the majority of the 99 sheep to look for that one lost sheep, right? And actually, if you think about it, Christians have always been a minority throughout history. We have always... So, if there's anyone who should understand what it feels like to be on the fringe, actually it's us. We should know what it feels like on the fringe, right? So, sometimes we allow this majority-minority thing to divide us. We think that, oh, we are majority, we have certain rights, we are entitled to certain things. Listen, everybody in the church is equally important, whether you're majority or minority. You know, every time I have a pastor come to speak at KUS, I have to brief the pastor. I'll tell, go up to the pastor and say, Pastor, before you go up and speak today, I need to brief you. Okay? Ours is a very special church. Sometimes in the middle of preaching, there will be noises from here and there. Okay? There may be somebody talking loudly, certain noise. Okay, when that happens, don't panic, just continue preaching. Occasionally, there may be people running around up in front. I say, when that happens, it's also okay. Just continue preaching. Okay, it's not because we don't like you or anything. Right? Just continue preaching. We are a special church. Because in many churches, this may not happen. Right? I said, but you know what? In our church, we understand there are people who have these needs. It's okay. Wouldn't die one. Jesus will still come back again. Actually, maybe in heaven, there'll be all these kind of people also. So might as well get used to it. Right? So, I think that sometimes we need to remember that there are these people around us. But I can also tell you that in the years that I've been here, there have been people who come up to me and say, Pastor, you got to do something about this person, about that person. Because this person, he's very, well, maybe to them, obnoxious, very loud. In the middle of service, he'll talk loudly. And you don't understand that maybe they are struggling with certain issues, right? So I'm like, yeah, I understand. You know, I know it is an inconvenience for you, right? Because you are trying to focus on the sermon, or maybe you're trying to focus on God. And these things happen, but you got to remember, maybe God is using all these things to help you to become more godly, to become more patient, right? Or if really you cannot take it, then go to the other side of the church. Usually the speaker is loud enough, you cannot hear anything. Right? So, you know, we can always make this accommodation and adjustment for one another in order that we don't just allow our majority sense to become a right. They say, you know, as a majority, I have a right to this. You know, how come I... Okay, no. In this church, everyone... In fact, the Bible actually says that the parts that have least honor, you should give greater honor. Again, not because the fringe is more important than the majority. It's just that because they are so forgotten, so ignored, and sometimes so downtrodden, right? That we should actually try and balance it up by making them known. Okay? So, very important, this tendency. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 24-25, says, God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism. Schism means division in the body. That the members should have the same care for one another. Amen? Okay, so, don't allow convenience to dictate us. Allow our convictions to determine who we are. Right? Our convictions, we believe that we are one in Jesus Christ. Okay, that's your conviction. Allow that, not our convenience, to dictate us. Amen? Convictions, not convenience. Now, I know you guys are people who are, you know, I'm so glad you are here, because you are people who can put up with inconvenience. Right? Otherwise, you left already. Once we lost our car park, I know you're gone already, right? There's some people who left. It's okay. I understand that convenience can be important for some people, right? But I also believe that God uses the inconveniences or apparent inconveniences in life to actually disciple us. And I believe that this whole experience, without having car park, I've been taking bus to church every weekend. Some of you, I keep meeting in bus and everything. So, it's a way of training. I mean, initially, wow, take bus, you think about things like whether it's going to rain or not, you know, must bring umbrella or not, whether it's too hot or not, or things like that, right? But after a while, you get used to it. That's the truth of it. Most of the things that we think are so important in life actually are not really all that important, right? So these things, very important. Don't allow that to drive us. Maybe another thing I want to say about how God uses these things, right, to remind us to become better disciples. You know, as a pastor, I have a lot of opportunity to deal with people who are dying or people, families of those who have passed away, right? So I think more than normal people, you're always constantly dealing with death. I'll tell you, dealing with death actually makes you think a lot about life. Because, you know, when you come to that point in your life, everything's the same, you know. It doesn't matter what you have, it doesn't matter what you've got, what you've done, everyone dies pretty much the same way, alright? And it really makes you think about life. And what is it about life that so makes life so important? And one of the things really is my next point, is that you learn to give. In giving to other people, you actually gain, right? And that brings me to my fourth point, which says that we should uphold and encourage one another. Upholding, sometimes we think when you're upholding another person, you're doing that person a favor, right? And that may be true. In some ways you are. But actually what you may not realize is that in so doing, your own life is being enriched. You know, when you give to other people, at the end of your life, those will be the things that are truly important to you. All the other achievements, what you have in the bank, all those things that I care, trust me in this. I've seen enough people in that situation to tell you those things really don't matter at all in your final days, right? So in giving. So, in Genesis chapter 4 verse 9, and today I'm not doing Genesis, by the way, those of you who are hoping for Genesis, you have to wait until I come back from Japan, okay? So we'll continue the exciting series later on. But in Genesis chapter 4 verse 9, Cain asked God, you know, am I my brother's keeper? What do you think? He's your brother, what? Of course, yes, lah. And on top of that, at that point, you know, who else is there in the world at that time? Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel, right? Four people, you know. Am I my brother's keeper? Not you, then who? Adam, or Eve. So, that's a really ridiculous question to ask. But the point here is that he was asking out of a very human condition, a mindset of scarcity. You know, many of us, we are worried about helping other people, right? About giving way to other people because we are afraid, if we give way to other people, what will happen? You know, I might have less. You know, very interesting. Our car park here, I got a lot of sermon opportunity. You know, every time you come out from the car park, you're going out back to Holland Road. You know, there's this little stretch that you pass by the school where the traffic is always very slow. Because right in front, somebody must have the guts to cut into the big line, you know, into the Farrer Road? Queensway, right? Into Queensway. But that part is always difficult because if let's say you're a bit slow type, you say, I don't know, the car comes so fast, wait. But as you wait, all this, you know, everyone's little bit of scare add up collectively, so that road is always very jammed, right? And then, especially come to that point, where cars are coming out from the car park, should I let him go in front of me or not, right? No yellow box, ma. No yellow box means I don't have to let him go in front of me. But you're thinking, if I let him go in front of me, means maybe he is another person who is very slow to cut into the lane, right? That means I have to wait longer. Now, these are human mindsets, totally like that. We always think, should I make room for someone else in my life? Because some of these things turn out to be quite inconvenient for us, right? It may be that if we make provision for all these people who are not mainstream, it could become very inconveniencing for those who are in the majority. Should we do it or not? This is the thinking that Cain was thinking about. Am I my brother's keeper? Is it any of my business? I should mind my own business only, right? Everyone kaki ku kaki, right? Everyone mind your own. Chike ku chike. Sorry, I don't know why I keep saying kaki. Right? Chike ku chike. So we mind our own business. We are our brother's keeper. If you're not your brother's keeper, then who is your brother's keeper? And worse still, who is your keeper? If you're not your brother's keeper, who is your keeper? Because one day, we will find ourselves on the other side of the divide. You think you'll be young forever? One day you'll be old. One day you may need a wheelchair. One day you may need people. You know what helps me when I'm driving? I'm driving, right? I told you I'm very impatient when I'm driving. Other times I'm very patient. I'm like a saint. But when it comes to driving, then you know what? I always remember my father drives very slowly now. Because my dad is turning 80 this year. So he drives very slowly. When I think of my father, I say, yeah, maybe someone's father is also there. And maybe he's also driving very slowly, right? So we need to drive slowly for all of them, right? So God's vision for the kingdom is for us to love one another. And we find ways, it's okay one. Like I said, most of these things won't kill us one. And actually, when you get to heaven, you'll be surprised. Heaven is not very neat. In our mind, heaven is very neat. Can you imagine? Heaven is like a theater, you know. All the seats neatly, everyone stand in their own square. Nice. Don't cut the other people's square, because you are given your own square. And we know this from young. Since we are young, sitting in the back of my parents' car, you know, me, my brother, my sister, we've got lines, right? Draw a line. Okay. Don't tell me you never did this before. Papa, he crossed into my line. You never did this before. You never had brother or sister, right? Because we all did it before. And we think that life is like that. No, actually it's not. It's all overlapping. It's all overlapping, okay? Now, the Bible says, when one part suffer, all suffer, right? We know this really well. But this is not true, is it? It's not true. You know, recently, Pastor Darren had a car accident. Not because he was driving like me, but some other thing. He had a car accident. But you know what? While he was having a car accident and suffering, guess what happened? The rest of us were going on life as business. You eat your durian, you know, having your family outing. You're doing all your... Nobody even know that he had a car accident, right? So why does the Bible say that when one part suffer, all suffer together? What does it mean? It's not true. It's not automatic. What it really means is that we must make the effort, right? Make the effort to share in the burdens of one another. It's not automatic. If you want to ignore it, very easy to ignore, right? So for all the people who are in this community, it's very easy to ignore people. It's actually quite hard to take heart, to take care of people, right? So one of the things the Bible is telling us to do is we need to be mindful. We have to take it upon ourselves to care for one another as best as we can, right? So at this point, I'm going to ask, we have people come forward and they're going to read for us the subsequent passage, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know this really well. It actually follows from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we have them come up and they'll bring us a song, okay? An old song, which I love very much because I like old songs. They are so old that they sound like new songs now.
The essence of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 to 8. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. Love never fails.
Je t'aime. Ti amor, ya tibia el blue, saya sayang kamu, I love you. This sounds all as different as the lands from which they came. And though our words are all unique, our hearts are still the same. Language straight from the heart pulls us all together, never apart. And once we learn to speak it, all the world will hear. love in any language, fluently spoken here. We teach the young our differences, yet look how we're the same. We love to laugh, to dream our dreams. We know the sting of pain. From Leningrad to Lexington, the farmer loves his land. And daddies all get misty-eyed to give their daughter's hand. Oh, maybe when we realize how much there is to share, we'll find too much in common to pretend it isn't there. Love in any language, straight from the heart, holds us all together, never apart. And once we learn to speak it, love in any language, straight from the heart, pulls us all together, never apart. And once we learn to speak it,
this is clapping, you know, right? For the people with sign language, this is clapping, right? And I love that song. I always wonder, they left out the nice Hebrew parts, which says, Ani Hoev Ata, which means I love you in Hebrew.
Because I only know Shabbat Shalom.
Yeah, that's right. do you all know this song? You do know this song? Okay, we'll sing the chorus afterwards. But we've heard the songs, you know, we've seen the dance, we've seen the whole thing, we've sat through the whole service. We have to respond. Now it's up to us to respond. And how can we respond? How do we respond to this to become a kind of community that truly reflects God, that truly reflects the image of God, that truly lives out this conviction and not just driven by our convenience, alright? How can we affirm the value of every individual without exception? To know that when you look hard enough at the other person's face, I look at someone next to you, you look hard enough, you see Jesus' image in them. Do you realize this? But sometimes we look briefly and then we look away. Right? Pine same, right? But sometimes we need to look a bit harder to see God in them. To recognize our shared responsibility to uphold and to encourage one another. We are called to remember the last and the least. To help them find their place. In fact, we are helping ourselves find our place. And in final analysis, we are all similarly a special and unique part of God's body. Now I have a little prayer here. I'm going to pray, and you know, you can pray with me as part of our aspiration to become a more godly community. Dear Lord, help us look past our differences to see you in our brothers and sisters. Grant us the grace to always remember the least and the last, the love to meaningfully embrace each member of our body, and above all, bind us together as a true expression of the united body of Christ. Amen, amen. Let's sing this chorus together, right?
Love in any language, straight from the heart.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that while we are still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love and gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be set free and the whole earth live to praise your name through Christ our Lord. Amen, amen. As we go from this place today, before we have the benediction, I do want to thank all the different people who have worked tirelessly hard to make this work, you know. So we'll put our hands together for all the different ones, okay? Whether it's the dancers, the musicians, the different ones. We thank you. And we thank you not for the entertainment, but we thank them for helping us do a more biblical thing. This is a very biblical service, you know. We follow the Bible, do what the Bible says, and because of that, I know God is present with us. Amen? So now as we go, we pray that this presence of God will go with us. Father, we thank you for today, for the reminder of our value and our place in your body, every one of us. Now as we go from this place, may your love accompany each one of us. The power to change the world through our convictions, and not just merely flowing with the conveniences of life. Father, we do pray for all those who are in this body as well as the wider body of Christ. Help us more and more to reflect your image as we go from this place. And now may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with all of us now and always. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Service is over. I'll see you back in church. All right. God bless you.
Tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.cruise.org.sg. God bless.